Well, turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 22 and keep your Bible open. This is one of those messages where we have to see some other texts in the Bible to get the full message. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is, if you're familiar with your Bible, is a psalm, prophetic psalm that David wrote about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that from the first verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that's not the verse we're going to study tonight. We're going to study another one and look at some cross references. You know, because the messages on Wednesday night are generally compact, so we have time for prayer requests and prayer updates on the missionaries and times to praise the Lord. I can't spend a great deal of time on each passage we're going to see, but you're going to understand something about God in this message that you might not have known before or considered. In Psalm 22, in verse 7, David prophetically records what it would be like for Jesus Christ on the cross. He says in verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. So often we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and we talk about it from his perspective and from God's perspective. About how badly he was beaten, about the fact that he became sin for us, about verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? About the suffering that he endured, all of that for us so that we could be saved. But you know, we don't often talk about the crowd and what they were doing. And here is their king, here is their Messiah. They don't recognize him as their king. They don't recognize him as their Messiah. They just see a carpenter who somehow or another pulled off these miracles, they figured by the devil, and they're glad to see him go. So the crowd is laughing him to scorn. You don't often think about that. Laughing at the horrendous suffering that he's going through, mocking him. I mean, you can hardly even envision the scene. It's like watching some sort of a comedy and seeing people laugh. Well, you understand they would laugh there, but this is their king. This is their Messiah. This is God manifest in the flesh. And they are laughing him to scorn. Unbelievable, really. Unimaginable. Sadly, had we been there that day and under the influence of our own self-righteousness and of the things that were unfolding and the pressure applied by the Pharisees and the chief priests and elders, we'd have probably joined right in with them and mocked that this guy who had pretended to be something was finally going to be put away. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd have been swept up in it just like they were. You know, but we have a saying, and the saying we have among ourselves and the saying you've heard repeated in the world is this: he who laughs last laughs best. You ever heard that? He who laughs last laughs best. That is, something you see might be funny now, but when the table is turned and it's on you, the people laughing at you after you were laughing are going to laugh harder than you laughed. And you know something? That is absolutely true when it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ and people who reject him as their Savior. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2, The closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're going to see the nations of the world line up against Christianity and line up against the Bible and line up against Christians. In Psalm 2, and line up against Jesus Christ. You know, there is a sense in the nations that the ruler of the earth is going to come and take rule, and they don't want him to do it. Psalm 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He, verse 4, that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's an amazing thing. You know, because people want to characterize God as all loving, he is love. All merciful, he's full of mercy. But there comes a time when you have used it up. Like Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to weep and then there's a time to laugh. And when it finally comes to this point where Jesus Christ comes to this earth to take rule and the kings have set themselves up like they're going to overthrow him, you know, it's got to be pretty funny to God that the people he made and the people to whom he has given the authority to rule and the people who rule over the nations, which are no greater in the presence of God than a single drop of a bucket, that they somehow or another are going to kick God off of his throne and they'll take charge. And that's what they're saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. It's like he comes and he's majestic and he's mighty and he's all powerful. And he just laughs like, what were you guys thinking? This is going to be like a child playing with army soldiers. He's just going to put them down like there was nothing. In a moment, Zechariah chapter 14 says, he's done and he rules. He who laughs last, laughs best. They laughed him to scorn while he was hanging on that cross, and he did that to extend mercy to every one of them that was there, that they, like we, could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. And all of a sudden, when he comes back to be the rightful heir of the throne and the rightful ruler of the universe that he created, they think they're gonna keep him from ruling. And to him, it's just funny. You know, that's one of the cruelest verses in the Bible, that God would laugh at the very ones his son died to save. But that's what he does. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. You know, you get down sometimes when you see the condition of the world, don't you? You're thinking, in my lifetime, since I've been saved, it's just gotten worse and worse. What's going to happen? He'll straighten it up. That's what's going to happen. Psalm 37. The Bible says in verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. You know, throughout the centuries, it's the religious people who have caused Christianity the greatest trouble. During the Inquisition, that was a religious purging of Christians. During Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, the religious people that didn't want him to be God manifest in the flesh. And these days, when you see religions and you see countries closed to the gospel and you've seen some of those horrendous things, I've never watched one, but some of you have seen the beheadings where they're trying to exterminate, just like Paul did back in that day. That was just a religious zeal of an ignorant man. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth against him with his teeth. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. It's like the Lord's up there going, you know, you keep it up, but one of these days I'm coming. And the Lord sees it, and the Bible says when he comes and he's laughing. You can't even imagine such a thing. But that's because we don't fully comprehend the heart of God, but he's letting you know something about himself. I'll put up for this for a while. Well, the day is coming when I don't put up with it anymore. And all that laughing y'all did, you ain't never heard laughing like you're going to hear when I start laughing. Because he who laughs last, laughs best. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24. A little bit longer passage here. But it contains the same thing. So what does he do? He laughs at the kings and the rulers who don't want him to rule. He laughs at the wicked who gnashed against the righteous. And then this, Proverbs 1:24, because I have called and you refused. Do you know, worldwide, God has made himself known. You've heard this from missionaries before, and they're not incorrect when they say it. There are places that still have yet to hear the gospel. We need to go to those areas. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. God, because of what he created, Psalm 19, Romans chapter 1, and because of the way his word has spread, there'll not be anybody at the judgment before God who will stand there and accuse God, I would have gotten saved, but you didn't tell me. There'll be nobody that can say that. Verse 24 says, I have called and you refused. That's the problem. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. That's the problem. But you have said it not all my counsel, with none of my reproof. Then what am I going to do? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But what? I will not answer. That's like a kid in a swimming pool drowning, hollering for the lifeguard, and the lifeguard sitting in the chair going, I warned you, pal. You're on your own now. And just, you say, I can't imagine that. He just told you right here in the scripture. Then shall they call upon me? I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Now when they see the situation is hopeless, yeah, now they want me. But back in the day when I was trying to give them something free, something salvation, something of the shed blood of my son, and they all mocked, table's turned now, pal. I can do it, but I won't. And he just sits there and laughs. It's unimaginable. It's hard to envision, but that's what he's going to do. You see, they have mocked him. They have cursed him. They have taken his name in vain. They've ridiculed him and brought him to reproach. And he's just put up with it for thousands of years. And one day, I've had enough. It's my turn to laugh. And I don't care what you do. My opinion's not going to change. I gave you ample time. Boy, that's shocking. That's the way it is. Now I want to ask you a question. Has anybody ever mocked you for being a Christian? Anybody ever made fun of you, called you something silly, or said to you something like that when you mentioned to them about Jesus Christ? They're like, I don't need a crutch like that. You ever had anybody do that? Turn to Luke chapter 6. You know, we're told to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And we should, and many of us do. But I'm going to tell you, when you see this side of God, you know what it does for me? It does two things for me. Number one, it encourages me to do all that I can on this side of glory to tell people who have not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior that they need to get saved. It really compels me to do that because this is going to be an awful day when the table turns. And now is the chance for mercy. Now is the opportunity to receive Christ. I don't want to be there the day that God is laughing and have somebody that I should have told look at me like, why didn't you tell me? That's a frightful thought. When you knew what was coming, why didn't you say something? So it really compels me to tell them, because it ain't going to be like it is right now when the table turns. It's going to be very different. The second thing that it does is it compels me to just go ahead and put up with it when they say the stupid things they say and mock the mockery they mock and laugh the catcalls that they laugh. Why? Because they've done that to my Savior, and they've done that to my God, and there's coming a day when the table's going to turn. You know, we've done a lot of public ministry, and when you're in the public ministry, you get all kind of things that happen to you. You're on a street corner, and you're witnessing and preaching to people, and I've had them tell me to go to the mental institute and make those obscene gestures with, you know, their IQ and things like that. I can remember one time we were at the beach, and I was in a truck, and we were just riding through the parking lot, and one of the Navy guys, and I don't hold this against Navy guys, it's just I understand they drink a lot and they talk big, and he was coming off the beach, you know, striding drunk, and I was preaching, and he came up to me and grabbed me and pulled me down, and then bam, 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 like that, pushed me back up in the truck. And that guy was strong. You see me. And the guy that was with him was, and I just kept on preaching. The guy was with me, like, why don't you leave him alone, man? I was like, leave him alone? And I was just drunk. Seen all that kind of stuff and all that mockery, and you know what? Knowing that one day the table's going to turn and our God's going to laugh compels me to go ahead and put up with it. Because there's coming a day when it won't be like this anymore. You want to laugh? Go ahead and laugh. Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for what? Ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." You know what? The day's coming where the table's going to turn. And they may cause you to weep now. They may cause you to bear reproach now. They may cast you out and separate you from their company. But the day the Lord is laughing is the day you can laugh. And it's going to be a very different day. So I say to you, it's going to be hard to laugh if you didn't do something about telling them now. If you shied away from their mockery now because you didn't want it. It just goes with the territory. That's what they do when they don't want Jesus Christ. And may I tell you something? As you heard in the testimony today, they don't all laugh. You tell people about Jesus Christ today, there are people who still want to know how to be saved. And they don't laugh. Don't be afraid of that. They may mock at first. I've had people that we've led to the Lord that at first mocked a great deal, but later after consideration, they came back and they're like, you know what? That made perfect sense. Tell me more. And they got saved. They said bad things about us in Beeville when we left to go to Bible college after we'd been there. You know, la, 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 and that guy, la, la. But we came back and, matter of fact, I mentioned this to you one day. It wasn't that long ago, in the last couple of years. We met some people when we first got there, and we were good friends, and we were all social. And then when I got saved and Ann got saved, we started living for the Lord. They're like, well, we don't want anything to do with those guys. They're crazy. And we went off, came back, you know, pastored there for a number of years and still, you know, ha, 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 ha. And then here, pastoring. And her grandson got saved and wanted to be baptized. And she was here 40 years after we met her the first time. And she got saved in my office. And, you know, she wasn't laughing like to the degree you've read in your scripture, just kind of giggling, you know, behind the back, like, oh yeah, we don't want anything to do with that. But sometimes they do. And you just got to put up with it. And you put up with it until Jesus Christ says, okay, we don't have to put up with it anymore. And then it all changes. And then it's your turn to laugh. And I'm just going to tell you, he who laughs last, laughs best. And don't ever forget that. It'll help you, and it helped me to put up with it till Jesus comes. But also to make sure that we're not laughing at somebody we should have told. That won't be very, there won't be much humor in that. We should tell them. Father, thank you for showing us something in the scripture that's, yeah, very, very important, very sober. It's hard for the world to imagine there's going to come a day when the table turns and you fulfill these prophecies, but you will. And we right now, with our heads bowed, are thanking you that we're on your side. So much better to be the recipient of your mercy than of your judgment. It's so much better to share your tears and your laughter than to have it the other way around. Help us to remember these things. Be faithful to do something about it for Jesus' sake. Amen.